Welcome to the sermons of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Fort Capel, Saskatchewan. We pray that this may be a blessing to you and that the Word of God would dwell richly in your hearts.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, Jesus came through the midst of the region of the Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. The Lord had left the region of Galilee for that of Tyre and Sidon in order to get away from those who were persecuting him. It was not yet time for him to lay down his life, and he had much he still wanted to teach his disciples. So he went away to escape it for a time that he might have more time to privately teach them away from the crowds and from the Pharisees. On the return, he went through the region of the Decapolis en route to the Sea of Galilee. He had been there once before. It was there that he healed the Gerasene demoniac by casting out a multitude of demons from him. Through that former demoniac and others that he had told, the word about Jesus had spread. Even here in this Gentile region, the peoples were bringing their sick and possessed to be healed by Jesus. St. Matthew records in his gospel of the same event, saying, "Great multitudes came to him, having with them their lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Yes, even these Gentiles. As a result, the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel, thus fulfilling our prophecy this morning, which speaks of Lebanon, this pagan region to the north, hearing and praising the God of Israel." The Lord Jesus did not make a distinction when he healed those that were brought to him. He cared for them and loved them. Indeed, he would lay down his life even for these Gentiles. Of course, he would heal them. Would that we would also be quick to love and care for others as our Lord has shown here, not making a distinction between the various us's and them's, but imitating our Lord's heart in being quick to love and show mercy. In our gospel this morning, St. Mark records in more detail one particular man who was healed from that mass group that Matthew mentions. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment of speech, and they begged him to put his hands on him. These people didn't know much about Jesus. They knew that he was a Jew and that he worshipped the God of Israel and that he performed miracles and signs. They believed that if they brought their sick to him, he could and would heal them. They didn't know how, but they knew that he would. So they asked Jesus to put his hands on the deaf and mute man, thinking that maybe it was his touch that made whole. The Lord is moved by their faith, simple and unrefined as it is, and tells them that he will indeed heal this man. And so he took him aside from the multitude. Could you imagine that man's confusion? Remember, there is no standardized sign language that at that time that his friends would be able to tell you, "We are taking you to a healer who will heal your deafness and your muteness." No, instead they take him from his place and bring him into the midst of a great crowd, and they take him to a stranger. It must have been very overwhelming. The Lord, in his mercy and compassion, took him aside from the multitude. He brings him to a quieter place, away from the rest, where he may be focused on Jesus and what will happen. He put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. The Lord communicates with the man, telling him what he will do. After all, he can't hear. So the Lord uses signs and actions to tell him why he was brought to him, why he was taken away from the multitude, and what is happening. He puts his fingers in his ears, in the source of the man's ill. He spits and touches his tongue by spitting, showing the action of the mouth, and by touching the tongue again, pointing to that thing which was wrong. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed. He looks to heaven, to God, that the man might know that this healing comes from the Lord, the God of creation who made heaven and earth. He sighs a wordless prayer, and even within us, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, writes St. Paul to the Romans. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He sighs, for he has come to take all of this away from us. Such physical maladies are the result of sin. Not any particular sin that this man did, nor his parents, but of sin in general, as a result of our fallen nature. Before the fall of Adam and Eve, there were no such problems. They are a result of sin in the world, of our nature having been corrupted. In his redemption of the world, Jesus dies to save not only our souls, but our whole selves, body and soul. In the resurrection, not only will we be raised free from sin, forgiven for the sake of Christ, but we will be perfectly whole and healthy as well. And he said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. After telling the man through signs that he will heal him, the Lord Jesus simply speaks a word and heals him. Ephphatha. Mark loves to include Aramaic that Jesus spoke in his gospel, and here we have such an example. Ephphatha, be opened. It is not putting his fingers in the man's ears or touching his tongue that heals him, but it is Jesus' will to heal him, which heals him. His word is that outward expression of his will, and his will is done. He says to deaf ears, "Ephphatha," and they cannot help but hear and obey. He says to the tongue bound in invisible chains, "Ephphatha," and the shackles are opened, and he can speak freely as if he had always done so. What a wonderful thing that the Lord heals this man with a word. And while Matthew speaks only generally about the many who were healed, why did Mark single out this man in particular? It may have been because of the significance of the ears and tongue in the Christian life. How so? The ears and the tongue are two of those things which set the Christian apart from those in the world. In everyday life, we don't differ from the rest of the world. Wherever we Christians live as the locals do. We dress as they dress, we eat as they eat, we work among them in the same professions, even if they're not Christian. These things do not set us apart. There is no special clothing that sets us apart. It is not as if we wear turbans or a special coat or a special belt or anything that marks us out. There's no language unique to us. We speak whatever language the people around us speak. What sets us apart are our ears and our tongues. For our ears hear the word of God. They hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the forgiveness of sins by the grace of God for the sake of Jesus' innocent sufferings and death. Through our ears, this word enters our heart where it is grasped by faith. But now many can hear the word, but not all believe. For this to happen, the Holy Spirit has to work through the word to open our ears, that we may be receptive to hearing his word. He says, in essence, through the word, "Ephphatha," and our ears are opened that we may hear and believe. When our ears are opened and we hear, the Lord works to create faith in our hearts that we may believe and be saved. For when we believe the gospel, when we trust in him, the Lord God declares us righteous for the sake of Jesus' innocent sufferings and death, and thus being transformed by the Spirit when we believe, our ears are now opened to continually hear his word, to take it to heart, to grow in faith and trust, to grow in the knowledge of God, to grow in wisdom, and to grow in love of him and our neighbor. The tongue is connected in a similar way. For just as the Lord expressed his will to heal the man's ears and tongue by his word, so too we express what we believe through our tongue. With our tongue, we confess before others the wonderful things that God has done for us. We confess the Lord's salvation freely offered in Jesus Christ. We confess his divinity, that he is the Son of God made man for us and for our salvation. We confess his incarnation, his birth, his sinless life, his death, and his resurrection, which brings us the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. So too we praise him, offering the sacrifices of thanksgiving and prayer and praise. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. The Lord opens our lips and looses our tongues, that we may praise him for what he has done and tell others. For when we share his word that we have believed in our hearts, the same Spirit who worked in us also works in those who hear us, to that they also might have their ears opened, that they might receive the word, believe, and be saved. With the tongue, the word is preached here and wherever the people of God gather. With the tongue, the words of absolution are spoken to the penitent and those burdened by their sins, that they may be set free. With the tongue, we console one another, encourage one another, and build one another up. Thus, the ear and the tongue are important in the Christian life. In Psalm 40, we find, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is continually within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness in my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly." See how the ears and the tongue work in concert. We believe, and then we confess what he has done. Yes, as it says in Romans, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one makes confession unto salvation. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Since the Lord has opened our ears that we may hear his word, since he has created faith in our hearts that we may believe his word and be saved, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. Let us pray that he may open our hearts in order that, like him, we may be quick to help others. The Lord in our reading did not deny the man because he was a Gentile. He did not avoid healing the great number brought to him. Let us pray that the Lord, who is working in us to sanctify us and make us holy, would make us quick to show our love for others, that we may be compassionate and merciful as he has been to us, by giving to the poor, by comforting the distressed, by visiting the sick and the shutting. Let us pray that he would open our mouths also at the proper time. He has loosed our tongues that we may praise him and glorify him. He has loosed them that we may share the gospel. So let us pray that he would give us the courage and love to do so, that we may be quick to share the good news of salvation from sin, death, and hell, that we may be more concerned for the souls of those around us than their opinion of us. For what good is keeping a good and peaceful relationship at Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving meal if, in the end, those same people go to hell? It's better to share the gospel, to encourage those who do not know the word, do not hear the word, to come and hear. Yes, they may be upset with us and ignore us, but we know and trust that it's not ourselves who do anything. It is the Lord who opens ears, who changes hearts, not us. He is the one who works through us lowly creatures. Open your mouth to pray for such people, trusting in the Lord, and open your mouth to share the gospel with the same, to invite them to come with you to church to hear the good news of the forgiveness of sins, the promise of salvation from eternal death, and the gift of new life. Not for anything we have done, but all by God's grace, by his free gift for the sake of Jesus. Let us pray also that he would open our hands in the support of the work of the church. What happens here is of eternal significance. For here the word of the Lord is preached and proclaimed. Here the Lord comes to wash us and to make us new in holy baptism. Here he comes to us with his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins and communion with him in the Lord's Supper. Let us pray that the Lord would give us wisdom in this, that we may know how we may help. He knows your need. He will not forsake you if you freely and cheerfully give to the support of his kingdom on earth. So let us pray that he may open our hands for this important work. And finally, since the Lord Jesus has given himself to death to pay the price of our sins and has been raised from the dead and ascended to heaven, we know that one day he will return, and with a word of Ephphatha, our graves will be opened, and we shall rise from the dead. This is our great hope, the end goal of our salvation, that we may rise from the dead on the last day to life everlasting. With sins forgiven and clothed in the righteousness of Christ, which is ours by faith, we shall stand before the Lord day and night in his temple. Having been sanctified by the Spirit, we shall live in his presence forevermore. All the afflictions that we have suffered in the body, in mind, and in spirit will be done away with, will be healed forever. The blind will see the glory of the Lord. The deaf will hear his voice. The mute will sing his praises. The maimed will have limbs restored. All those things which troubled us will be forgotten. All those things which were wrong will be set right. This is the Lord's great salvation, that we who condemned ourselves by our sins are saved by his grace, so that when we die, we do not die, but live forever. May the Lord God, who has opened the ears of the deaf and loosed the tongue of the mute, who has opened our ears that we may hear his word, and who has given us faith to trust in him, who has loosed our tongues to praise him, keep us steadfast in this faith until the end, that we may rise from death on the last day and enter into life eternal through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you for joining us. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.